Hey, sir, these are dark blue, these are light blue, and these are kind of medium blue.
Get informed on the latest styles, newest merchandise, and hottest sports memorabilia items. Shop Talk gives you all the tips to get you geared up for the season.
And they showed John McDaniels on the sidelines wearing a sweatshirt kind of rolled up. Did you offer any fashion advice?
Yeah, we spent a lot of time on it.
Now, here to talk shop, the staff of the Patriots Pro Shop.
Hello, Patriot fans. Welcome to Week 14.
You don't sound so good.
I'm not good.
You sound like my voice usually sounds.
I feel...
I'm no kidding. It's all right. That cough's digitally enhanced.
That's me recorded earlier.
I think a lot of people are sitting around right now going, what the hell is this?
That poor guy. I clicked on the wrong website.
You got a little frog in my throat.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm a little under the weather, but I'm here for Shop Talk.
Way to man up.
I probably got it from being in the studio.
You probably did.
God knows what's growing in here.
I've seen the shows that happen in here. I think it's a valid question.
But anyway, it's Shop Talk. We're on prime time.
This is huge for us.
We're on the 3 o'clock time slot here. This is
the drive time, right? Is that what they call it?
Well, I don't know. Somebody's prime time.
We could
time.
Pick up an extra 100 listeners and double our audience.
There you go. Ooh, Jim, that's a jab.
Well,
to us. Come on. We're family.
All right. We could get another 100,000.
There you go. Welcome to week 14 of Shop Talk. I'm your host, Mike Perriello, manager of the Patriots Pro Shop. Joining me, as usual, the main man from Patriots.com. You usually like to drop your website in there.
Yeah, I try to do it and surprise you.
Mr. Jim Scollins.
PatriotsProShop.com.
And then, the top buyer.
Wait, the new PatriotsProShop.com.
That's right. And we will get into why it's new.
That's right.
I think you can figure it out. And then joining us, obviously, is, as always, our top NFL buyer, the Iowa Assassin. Can we nickname you that?
Sure. Why not?
The Iowa Assassin. Or maybe the Tornado.
Ooh, there you go.
Mr. Jeff Breitenbach.
Thank you, sir.
We're gonna try to fit a lot in this first 15 minutes because we got a pretty neat guest that we're going to have on today that if you're any type of Patriots fan, this is going to be right up your alley. So let's just jump into it. Jim, we got some promos going on. Obviously, the big one going on.
The 12 Days of Patriots. This is huge.
It's
we gave away a trip to Chicago on the first day.
Well, tell them if people are clueless on what this is.
Every day for 12 days, we give away a unique prize and or experience, including today's prize is a great one. It's tickets to the Miami game on January 2nd. Is that the date of that game?
Yep.
So if you shop online today or come in the store, you can enter to win tickets to the Miami game, which that game could be a big one, right? That could determine the division.
Right.
You know, whether or not we get a bye in the playoffs. It could be a huge game.
Yep.
Always a good game when you play the Dolphins.
They're all big from here on out.
Sure. Yep. Totally. And that last game could be, you never know what might be riding on that one. So shop online or come in the store and enter to win tickets to the Miami game.
That could be the game Miami could clinch the division.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Way the league's going this year,
but we've given away a trip to Chicago. We've given away signed Welker mini helmets.
Yeah.
We have stadium tours of the hall at Patriot Place.
Have the winners been grateful?
Very much so.
Yeah,
the guy going to Chicago is thrilled. He's from New Hampshire.
Yep,
thrilled. So yeah, people are. You know, it's funny. No one thinks people win these things. Every time I send an email or call a winner, it's always like they always think it's a joke. They're like they're being scammed in some way. So I have to convince them that it's real. And that's not always easy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's 12 days of that. We had a few days left. Today's Miami tickets. It runs through the 13th, which
13th.
Is Tuesday, Monday.
Right.
So every day is another prize. So check in regularly and
right.
purchase online.
That's an awesome contest. Well, promotion.
It is great. Yep, 12 great prizes.
I mean, what other place gives you stuff like that?
Photo taken on the field, a tour of the hall. Last year, Hannah did that tour. I think he's doing it again this year.
Nice.
So imagine getting a tour of the hall at Patriot Place with John Hannah.
Right.
Football hall.
Just talking to him,
a
tour.
No one can match that prize.
Right.
You cannot match that prize shopping anywhere.
This is John Hannah, Patriot Hall of Famer. Download the podcast now.
I would do it. I'm a little scared not
he
to.
He still is threatening, man.
I got to go.
He's a solid guy.
I got to go get that podcast. But so that's what's going on. The 12 Days of Patriots. It's exciting. People get revved up for it. It's good stuff.
Yeah. No, it is good.
Excellent.
It is really good. Yeah. So this Saturday coming up at Patriot Place. If you go to patriotplace.com, you'll see how you can do this. But they're doing a free field visit to visit Santa Claus on the field, the actual playing field here at Gillette. And
it's not John Hanna, but it's okay.
It's Santa, whatever. But it's cool. It doesn't matter what age you are. You get to get on the field. All you have to do, there's several ways you can. I believe one of them is a donating a coat to Cradles to Crayons, which
great,
is a
great cause.
If you show a receipt spending, I believe it's $25 or more. You may want to check that. At $25 or more at any store at Patriot Place, including the Pro Shop, just show the receipt. You're on there. Free picture yourself or whoever, the family, on the field with Santa Claus.
And you said it's like an instant picture, right? They get it immediately. They walk away with it.
Yeah,
it's something you have to.
Yeah. If you don't have a camera, don't worry about it. But, the weather right now looks great. Last year was a little bumpy. I think they actually may have canceled it, but the weather was rough. But that's a great turnout. It's just great. It's just something to bring your kids to. So you got that coming up, and then it's just the holiday season. I mean, we're between the online store and the Pro Shop. Both Pro Shops are, I mean, we are everyone's rocking. The team's winning. It's
people
holiday season.
People are so excited about the win the other night. Yesterday was one of the busiest days we've had all year. Right up there with Black Friday. I mean, it was crazy.
You guys selling out of Michael Bishop jerseys?
Yeah, they're all gone.
Wow. Jeff, you got to get on that reorder.
2 to 3 weeks, Mike.
But literally, we're at that point right now where we could be selling just about anything.
Yep. If we had those, they'd sell right now.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
45-3.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shocker.
45-3.
I really did think we'd win. I just didn't think the Jets were going to fold like a tent.
Right.
I was at the game. I talked to a lot of people since then, and they're like, we kept noticing on TV that a lot of people were still in the stands in the fourth quarter.
Oh, I noticed that, too.
And I'm like, I know when I was there, I didn't want to leave, and I think everybody else thought the same thing. Yeah. They want to see this continue.
It was so good you didn't want it to end.
Exactly. You just didn't want the game to end. And, for as cold as it was still such a great night. It really was.
When you see someone getting, like an actual person getting beat up, you want to go in and stop it, or you want it to end.
Yeah.
That wasn't the case here.
Yeah.
You just wanted this thing to go.
Yeah.
Well, when you see a bully getting beat up, you kind of like
enjoy
it.
Or a loudmouth, yeah.
Yeah, same difference.
Oh, yeah. Are you allowed?
You know what, though? Now I want a goddamn snack.
I could go for one. By the way, today was Pizza Wednesday. Jeff missed it. He was doing a...
Eating a bunch of f***ing cheeseburgers?
He probably was. He probably was.
Actually, I had pizza where I was.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Jeff was over at Reebok kind of looking at...
Let's go eat a goddamn snack.
Great line.
Yeah.
Great God, is that a great line.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff was off at Reebok taking a look at some stuff for next year, but... Jim and I and Brian.
You mean they're doing merch for next year?
Can you believe it?
One more year.
No lame duck year for them, huh?
Nope.
No,
they're fulfilling their contract, big guy.
Figured they would have just recycled this year's stuff.
It's all new, and it's good. A lot of good stuff.
It is good. So we had pizza from CBS Scene here at Patriot Place. I'm telling you.
We had a smorgasbord of pizza.
You don't think of pizza. I mean, you don't think CBS Scene is pizza, but... That's some good pizza.
Ken and I actually went there for pizza on Monday because we had the long day before the game.
What kinds did you have?
We had buffalo chicken.
We had that. Brian brought up the cheeseburger, and I kind of said that it wasn't into it. And then these guys told me that they love it. They think it's great, so I might have screwed up there.
They're all good. I mean, that's just...
That potato skin pizza, though, that's different, and it's good.
It's solid.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, low fat.
Spicy meat pizza. Had some kick to it.
Nice.
It was exciting.
Yeah, it was good. So
you guys were sorely missed.
No, I'm sure.
Oh,
but it was exciting.
I didn't even realize they weren't there.
Oh.
Anyway, so we got a lot going on. Jeff, anything? I mean, you're at Reebok today. I know you're looking at 2011 here, but anything kind of coming up the pipeline that we can get excited about?
We're still trying to track down some of the jerseys. They've had a blank issue, so it's been a little difficult to get some of the things in. But the Woodheads, the Devin McCourty jerseys, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis jerseys, name and number T for Ben Jarvis. It's all trying to get it in as soon as possible.
Right. So. And, you know, just to quickly stay on the jerseys, I was at a big box retail sporting goods store and nothing. I mean, they got, you'll go in there and you'll see some Patriot stuff, but it's just, it's slim pickings over there. So, especially in the jersey department, really any category, we're going to have a ton more than anybody else, but we have a ton of jerseys right now. It's just, I just love that. Yep. I mean, people are just grabbing.
And a lot of fresh faces, which is what we've been asking for the last couple of years, is somebody new. And we got the Gronkowskis, the Hernandez, the Woodheads, the Welker, the Ben Jarvis now, McCourty, Mayo, Spikes. I mean, we got them all.
Yeah. No, it's...
Chung's on order. I got Chung jerseys coming in. So,
That's solid.
Yep.
Good.
I think that's why fans are so revved up to get some of these jerseys, because, like them, we've wanted those players to step up or have some new names to slap on since some of the older guys are gone. You know, we don't have Harrison jerseys anymore and Brewski and all those guys. So it's fantastic that some of these guys are up. And I think that's why the fans are clamoring. Yep. On Twitter and Facebook, I get hounded regularly about Woodhead jerseys.
Yep.
And McCourty.
Yep.
You know, he's right up there, too.
That was a big name.
So stay tuned, guys, because we're going to have those soon, right?
We're working on it feverishly.
Jeff
why Ken's not here, because Ken's working the phones. He's getting it done.
I'm not buying that.
He's cold.
Jeff looks tired, and I buy that. He looks like he hasn't had a lot of sleep, but I don't buy the Ken working the phones thing.
No, not at all.
Although I did try to call him, and I got voicemail, so maybe he was on the phone.
But we know the history with that.
Yeah. Or maybe he was at Reebok eating pizza.
Yeah.
So there's a ton. Just in general, I mean, we said this over and over again back in November. You got to shop early. There's some stuff here and there that we're starting to get people like, I want an extra large and whatever it may be. And we've been saying this not an infinite inventory on all this stuff. So, you know, the team's hot. You know someone in your family or friend wants it, and you know you're going to be getting it. You're just sitting on it. You're just sitting on your list a little too long here. So just get in here early. Speaking of list, wish list, right in front of me on the lovely laptop here, the new Pro Shop website.
What do you think?
It's striking. And I heard this is just...
Striking. That is an accurate description.
There's going to be more enhancements to it.
Yeah, this is sort of phase one.
Phase one. So
there'll be several different releases of new features, functionality, the ability to sort and filter your results, or, you know, if you're in sweatshirts, you'll be able to show me just red hooded sweatshirts.
Is this kind of like autotrader.com? You can filter your car?
Yes.
I want an SUV.
That's
red,
exactly what it's
V6.
Like. But you'll be able to filter it. I mean, the inventory is so deep, we've basically figured out that we had to have a way to make it easier than just, you know, sorting through 100 items or 200 items or 300 items to sort of drill down and find what you wanted. If you didn't use search, that's another way you could get directly to what you want. But this phase only has a little bit of that filtering and sorting. You can sort by price. You can sort by the newest to show the newest stuff up top. So there's some of that, but there's a lot more coming in some other promotional areas and graphics and things that we're working on. But I think it's a huge step forward for us. It's a cleaner look. There's bigger product images. Now we have the ability to have multiple product images. That'll make it a lot easier for people shopping online to get a feel for what they're buying and a better look at it,
right?
And be able to find what they want faster. So we're excited.
It's nice.
I think it's great. I really do. I think it looks good. Like to your point, cleaner.
Yeah.
I think in some respects the old site was a little busy at times. So a little more streamlined. I think it's good.
Thank you. We're excited. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, go to patriotsproshop.com.
Now, if you could just live up to your end of the bargain and work as hard as,
what are you saying?
People did with what?
You think I sat back and watched that all happen?
Yeah.
All right, I did. It's true.
You had no involvement. I just had to show it to you right now.
I had involvement.
We have a new website?
Jim
worked diligently on the...
That's a big word, Mike.
That's it. Now my voice is really going to go. it's a great website. And again... Plenty of time to get it for Christmas, correct?
Yep, absolutely.
Not sure when that deadline date is, but...
No time left, though, for Hanukkah, right? You're not going to be able to get it there tomorrow.
They're so good.
You ordered right now, we get next day.
Nice.
Nice.
Sweet.
Sweet. So, yeah.
No, we're trying to stay on top so that, right up until the last minute, according to what our carriers can deliver, we should be able to ship right up to the last minute.
Good. Very good.
Christmas is on a Saturday this year. That helps. So we could ship stuff even early in the week and still get it there in time.
Yeah, right. No, that's good. So I don't know. Now, I just got to ask Jeff this. Do we have a specific time for our guest, or has that been determined before we?
I think he's on call. He's ready to go whenever we are. So,
Jason, is that true? We're just going to double check. Well, yeah, it'd be another minute or two. There's still this is Jason's first day in the studio.
He's new to the Shop Talk format.
So there's a lot going on. We've had a lot of players and player families coming into the store. I'm not saying that it's a lock, but if you spend some time down at the pro shop these weeks leading into the holiday especially, it's almost, what a cool thing that would be to bump into a player, but they're just coming in before and after practice.
They've got holiday shopping to do too, Mike.
I'm serious. They really are.
You could be online shopping and be online at the same time as a player shopping in the pro shop online.
That would be really cool.
You may not know it, but it still could be happening.
You could have a live cam just in the pro shop. You're shopping the same time as Deion Branch.
Maybe we should get a webcam in the pro shop.
That would be comical.
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
Make the online shoppers feel like they're right there in the store.
There you go.
That's right.
That'll work.
One cool thing, which would be my little intro into our guest, is we have a really, really cool book. If you haven't checked this out, Jim, I think you were claiming you knew all the facts in this book.
Well, a lot of it's right here in my head.
But anyway, there's a new book that we have in the pro shop and on the online pro shop. It's called Patriot Passion from Day One. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to have the author, Mr. Michael King, joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Michael.
Yes, how are you, gentlemen?
Good, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Who am I speaking with?
Oh, this is Mike Perriello. I'm the manager of the pro shop, actually.
Okay, hi, Mike.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
And then we have Jim Scollins, who runs our online store, and Jeff Breitenbach, one of our buyers.
I work with Ken Flanders. I don't know if that's
okay.
Good or not.
Oh, okay, good. So that's easy.
So
one M and two J's. Okay.
And rumor has it, you know a little about some Patriot facts and history.
Yeah, I do, but it's all the fun stuff.
Go ahead.
I'll never forget the first time, if I can just enlighten you very quickly, is when the first time I met Fred Kurse, and he said what he liked about my trivia facts was that they sort of last the test of time. You could write a book and say that someone holds the record for the longest field goal. He said, Vinatieri for 52 yards, but then the day you publish the book, Gostkowski kicks ones for 54 yards, and there goes the book. And I said, yeah, but if they have the same driver's ed teacher, I'll find that out.
That's right.
I just love it. It's great stuff.
No, it's a fantastic book. I guess you'd probably describe it better than I could, but I mean, I've flipped through this several times in the pro shop. There's some crazy stuff in here that you just would never in 100 years probably get from any Patriot fan just talking to them. I mean, there's some cool things, and I'll tell you, it really, you can be any age and get into this book. I'm no joke. I'm seriously considering getting this for my 8-year-old, who's becoming a little sports like freak with stats and trivia. And I mean, I think you did a fantastic job with it. What made you do it? Why the book?
Well, it's interesting. The whole thing starts thanks to the Patriots, believe it or not. And when the Patriots lost the Super Bowl in 2007, and as the game was winding out, and after the last attempt by the Patriots, and Brady was intercepted, I believe, and I wasn't upset, and I couldn't figure out why I wasn't at first. Then I realized they had won 3 Super Bowls, in 3 and 4 years, in fact. And I said, I'm not upset, so that's why. Then all of a sudden, I realized, I started thinking, and I'm going to switch for a second. I started thinking about the Red Sox. And I realized I wasn't upset about the Red Sox losing all the times during my life because of their recent success. And I wrote a Red Sox book just on a whim for myself, and I sent a copy down to Foxborough to Mr. Kraft. And within a week, I found myself sitting in Fred Kurse's office, and he held the book up and said, you know, Mr. Kraft thought this book was cool, and he'd be honored if there was a book of this caliber about his team. And we don't support you, but we just, you know, we can't be behind you, but hey, write it, we'd be happy. And they gave me all the archives, and that's how it came. And my son tells me that I love this book more than him, and I tell him, okay, great, but just by a little. I love it. I'm so passionate about it.
No, that's great. And you're a local guy, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Dover. Born in Quincy, grew up in Dover, went out to the Midwest a little for school, but, you know, I've been around here and had some health problems, had a couple of strokes, four mini strokes, two major heart surgeries, but, you know, I'm still standing, and I figured, hey, if Teddy Bruschi can go back and play football after having a stroke and I'm being serious, then why can't I get back after my strokes and, you know, write some books? And that was my original major in college was journalism, so.
Right. Well, you know, no, not joking around about the heart attack, but this team, man, it's going to get everybody on the edge of their seat this year. I think we're in for another two months of solid football. So
nail-biters. I mean, yeah. You know, and I remember I heard Bill Belichick talking on an interview once, and he said that it's how you prepare for every game individually based on, even if you have the best pass defense in the league, if the other team also has, like, you know, a great or a terrible pass defense, you have to concentrate on the running, and you have to put, you know, you have to put your eggs in the right basket. And he's just, if I were to start my own company, no matter what it was, the product, I would want him to run it. You know, he's a brilliant tactician, and I just think the Patriots have a good driver. But forget it. I mean, what do we got? Four more games in the regular season, and up to four. I mean, I think we have eight more games, and it's just going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael, speaking of Belichick, can you give us something out of the book, something maybe people don't know or something interesting that's in the book regarding him?
Yeah, well, I really tried to dig deep inside, but the one that struck me was in how close he was to his dad, and, you know, his dad was his mentor. And, I mean, how could you not respect, you know, Steve Belichick? Mm-hmm. But his dad holds Steve Belichick holds the record for the Detroit Lions in the best lifetime punt return average.
Right.
Oh, and he only returned one, but he returned it 78 yards for the Detroit Lions for a touchdown. So,
there you go.
I mean, that in a buck gets you a cup of coffee, but, you know, and then also Belichick is, along with Shuler and Don Shuler, and I can't even think of the other player, I forget, but who played in the, who coached in the NFL and had their dad coach in the NFL as well.
Wow. Yeah, wow. Steve Belichick was the equipment manager on Detroit that year, right? And they ended up pressing him into action
of
injuries.
Yep.
You're right. Yeah. Wow. And obviously he made the most advantage out of what they asked him to do. But I'm not sure of the game, but it was 78-yard return, and it was his only one ever, but it's the best lifetime record in Detroit.
That's great.
But can I ask you guys a question? Are any of you guys familiar with the game? It's called the Holy Roller game. In the late 70s when Oakland advanced a fumble, sort of, you know, kicking it forward, and they scored a touchdown late in the game against San Diego to win a very critical game, and then the NFL rules committee looked at it, and so that game was called the Holy Roller game.
Right.
And, you know, it's famous for the old-time NFL people. Well, going through the game books that Fred provided me with, 10 years before that, in a game in Oakland, Clem Daniels, a running back for Oakland, he was tackled, he fumbled it. It was picked up by Hewitt Dixon. He ran like another 5 yards. He fumbled it. It was picked up by Cliff Branch. He ran like 7 yards, and then he fumbled it. And Blintnikoff picked it up and ran into the touchdown for an end zone. And that was 10 years before that play, but it happened against the Patriots. So, obviously, Oakland had that in their playbook all the time.
So that's when they changed the rule. That's when they changed the rule. You can't advance a fumble like that.
Well, yeah, they did that in '78. Yeah,
right. Wasn't that the Ben Dreith?
One other quick thing. I'm told Ben Dreith. Oh,
sorry, we're bringing up all the bad memories.
Opened up a can of worms there, Jim.
Ben Dreith. I mean, he, you know, he was like an all American at like the University of Montana, and he actually refereed like four. Final four games in the NCAA.
Really?
Yeah, so, I mean, he was highly thought. He never did another Patriot game after that game.
Wow.
Thank goodness. maybe Sugar Bear Hamilton had something to do with that.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, but no, it's interesting that even though Sugar Bear Hamilton was hit for that penalty, and that's the benchmark that we all remember, the Patriots then held Oakland on a third and goal from, like, the two, but then they called unsportsman conduct penalty against the Patriots bench, and it gave Oakland another first and goal from the one.
I did not know that.
Huh. Yes. I mean, and that's like totally, it was like three, because then they stopped them for the next, you know, three plays, and, I mean, it was like, you know, if they had stopped them then, they would have had another do-over, I swear.
It's amazing how many Raiders-Patriots games, you know, have such significant moments in Patriot history. Because it doesn't seem like that now. Since the Snow Bowl, you know, back in 01, or technically it was 02, I think, there hasn't been any meaningful Patriot-Raider games. But, I mean, if you look back through history, there's a lot of games between those two teams that were huge.
I actually heard John Gruden call into a show this morning, and he referred to that game as the Tuck Rule game, which a lot of people refer to it now, either as a Snow Bowl or the Tuck Rule game. And you could tell the way he said it, it wasn't, you know, any bitterness towards it or whatnot. It was just how people know the game.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's, I mean, you know, everyone remembers Lonnie Paxton with the Snow Angels and, I mean, just, but, you know, it's funny to say the Oakland Raiders, though, that first game the Patriots ever won at their first field, BU Field, was against Oakland. The first game they ever won at Fenway Park was against Oakland. And the first game they ever won at Old Schaefer Stadium was against Oakland. So three of the six stadiums that they played in the home games in the Boston area began with victory. Their first victories in those stadiums were against the Oakland Raiders.
We should have played them in this building for the first game instead of Pittsburgh.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, it's better to beat Pittsburgh and stuff it to them after having beaten them the year before, too.
Exactly.
Can't argue with that logic. Yep.
Yeah. It was definitely, yeah, that's funny. I'm just looking at the book here. You got it broken down. I actually like how you did it. The breakdown of the book, how you kind of go offense. You got the team, the coaches, offense, defense, and just, I mean, I'm just looking at, when I say everything's in this book, it tells you what the most popular last name in Patriots history has been.
Smith.
Johnson, right?
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
15.
Well, no, the greatest one of all was, though, after last season, and I'm sorry to interrupt, gentlemen, but after 791 games that counted, so either regular season or playoffs, but not preseason, the Patriots had won 386 coin tosses and had lost 385 coin tosses.
Wow.
I mean, after 50 years, it was only one. I mean, wow. I so much wanted them to, well, obviously, to beat Baltimore and go on to one more game. Then I wanted them to lose the toss in that game just so we could have said exactly even after 50 years.
And that is amazing how they say it's 50-50 chance.
Yep.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it goes to show you that, you know, it really is the law of
odds. It's amazing that you can even dig out that data.
Yeah, who had that?
That can't be easy.
Yeah.
Well, when I went through every single game, you know, and I had all the game books from the very first game they ever played, I just made a little, beside each one, I made a note, and added them all up.
How long from the time you started the project till the time you submitted it as a finished product did it take?
About 3,500 hours. You know, like maybe
how many days
months.
Is that, Mike?
That's about 14 months.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I was doing 10 and 12 hours a day. And but it would, I would find something, and I would just get so excited, I would just keep going. And, you know, there was one game, the Patriots had a lineman that kicked off. His name was Justin Canale, and he kicked the ball off. It was the first game they ever played in the Astrodome. And there was a kickoff. He kicked it off, and the guy ran to, like, the, you know, 20-yard line, 27-yard line. He got tackled by a Patriot, and the Patriot recovered the ball for a fumble. And the tackle was that guy, Justin Canale, that made the kick. So, yeah, he made the kick. He was a big, like, 6'8", 6'5", 6'6", lineman. He kicks the ball. Then he goes down the field, makes the tackle, forces a fumble, and recovers it.
Wow.
That's solid. That's you a special know? Teamer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And he was an offensive lineman, and he was the only player other than Gino Cappelletti to kick an extra point for the Patriots during their 10 years in the AFL.
That's amazing.
Interesting.
I'm on page 47 of the book. I'm in the I believe it's the draft.
That's the best one. Go ahead. You got to tell that story.
Well, no, I'm just finding some random ones. I always wondered what draft class was the worst, because I remember seeing the 90s. It was always like, oh, number one picks and this and that. But 1966, the AFL draft proved to be the least productive in Patriots history. Yeah. So, I mean, you got me. I'm already sold on this. I'm one of the guys that just kind of like to talk about random stuff.
What story were you talking about, Michael?
Yeah, what story?
Well, do you know Dave? Does anyone know who Dave Adams is?
Do not.
Okay, in 1963, the Patriots had 32 draft picks over 2 days, and those are in the days before conference calls or anything, so I can picture someone in New York having 8 phones and, like, you know, and they go, like, you know, the Patriots draft, Dave Adams, and so they go, Patriots, Dave Adams, and then the guy's picking up 8 phones. First day of the draft was over after 16 rounds, and then they had the second round, the second day, and then it came to the 27th round, and it was the Patriots pick, and whoever was now doing it, and I could never find it, and I even, you know, talked to Lee Sargent, the, you know, son of former owner Dick Sargent, but anyways, it ended up that someone else, they said, Patriots take Dave Adams from Arkansas. They drafted this guy in the 13th round and then the 27th round.
That's
twice in the same draft.
That is great. I mean,
that's classic.
That is classic.
Wow.
That's exactly why I love that stuff. I'll tell you, if there was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire lifeline for Patriots, I already got them done.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, I've been lifelines for people from anything, but no one could ever make it to the big chair. I mean, it's not just sports, it's everything with me, but the past, you know, 3 years has just turned into an odyssey for the Patriots, and, you know, and I love the people at Fenway Park and the people in the garden, but, the Patriots, as a little kid, I used to sit home and my dad would come home and I would look forward to seeing the cover of the program that Bissell would have, like, the Patriot guy beating the heck out of an oil guy with an oil derrick on his head or something like
that.
Right,
right, right.
And, the fond. And plus, I think the fact that of the 4 teams in Boston, people from my generation, I remember everything but 2 years of the Patriots. I mean, it's just, I think that even helps the baby boomers even stay more connected to the Patriots as opposed to anyone else.
Right. And a lot of this book, I mean, just flipping through it, this is not your version of a story or an opinion. This is pretty much all facts. Is that correct?
Well, it's all facts that either I have a fantastic memory that I could pull, or I was able to pull from articles or reading box scores, but no access to, you know, the locker room or anything like that. And if I can say one thing that I love about this book, is that you can read one or two of the stories, then you can put it down. Then when you pick it up, you don't have to remember kind of where you left off.
Get that right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you have to know where you left off in terms of the book, but you don't have to, were they in the 1965 season, and the Patriots gets lost on the road. But, I mean, the Patriots were 2 games away from the very first Super Bowl. You guys know that, I assume?
What'd you say, they were 2 games?
2 games away from playing in the first Super Bowl.
Oh, no, I did not know that.
I didn't know that.
No.
In 1966, the last game of the season, They went into Shea Stadium with, you know, the Joe Namath-led Jets, and they played, and they were 8-3-2, and all they had to do was win, and they had the East Division. And the Jets beat them 38-28, so then the Pats ended up second place, and so then Buffalo played Kansas City, and Kansas City beat Buffalo, and Kansas City went to the first Super Bowl.
Wow.
And had the Patriots won that game, they would have had to play Kansas City, who they tied at in earlier in the year. They had lost 43-23 at Fenway, but then they tied against Kansas City with like 4 weeks to go in the season. And Hank Stram said, and it's somewhere in the book, the Patriots are the best team in the league at this time. And they were that close to being in the first Super Bowl.
Unfortunately, there's a few years you can apply that to, right? 78, a lot of people thought the Patriots were the best team, and it just seemed like there was a bunch of years in there where they were on the doorstep and just couldn't break through.
2007.
Yeah, Bryce May.
Just for the record, 66 is before I was born, Jeff. I know you were looking at me like I would know.
Hey.
I was born in 67. Thank you.
Oh, come on. What's your birthday in 66? What month?
Jeff and I have the same birthday, March 8th.
March 8th, okay.
That's not in the book.
It's not in the book yet, but, you know, the thing is now...
Volume 2, baby. Are you ready to be volume 2?
I will find something about March 8th that'll just sort of, if you relate it to the Patriots or something in Boston or something unique that will be, and you'll go, whoa, you know, that's sort of cool.
Huh, that is, yeah.
Man.
And that's, I bill myself as a sports archaeologist because I'll dig it and I'll find it.
I feel like I'm talking to that, you know, that guy that does all the nude scenes, Mr. Skin. You hear it?
You
can throw out any.
We consider that a huge talent. It's not.
No,
it's a compliment,
Michael. You can throw out any actor, actress, actor, whatever he does, and that guy knows.
Encyclopedia.
He is. He's a. He's,
all right. Let's see if that's true. Let's name an obscure player and see if he can come up with something.
I'm reading 100 of them right here.
One of the things I like about the book is that it's fairly up to date. I mean, you've got blurbs in here about Gronkowski and Woodhead.
Really?
Well, actually, there's a picture of Danny Woodhead in it. Christy from the Stacy staff was kind enough because my editor was methodical in getting the book, you know, finished. And so I didn't even print it till mid through the season. But in this, you know, there had been three games in Patriots history where the final score was a palindrome, twice to Buffalo, 31-13. And then once they lost, they beat the Chargers to go 18-0 before the Super Bowl, you know, miscue. But they were, and they won 21-12, another palindrome score. Well, what's the score this year of Monday Night Football with Miami? Does anyone remember?
Was it 41-14?
41-14, and it was only the fourth palindrome, and that's in the book.
Wow.
And that was just at the end of the game. I'm like, please don't score, because then I can add this to my book. and I added it, but, no, it's just, it's a passion, and I'm proud of the book. And, I could have done it without the support of the Patriots and, you know, specifically Fred Kirsch. But, like Fred tells me, but you did all the work, Michael, and I did. But, there's no I in team. But I'm ecstatic with how it came out. And as I tell friends, I tell them, go down to the stadium and get it. And,
right.
You know, I said, I told my friends if I sell X amount of books, I said, then the Patriots are going to activate me for one play, and they're going to let me return a punt.
There you go.
One of my friends said, please tell me you're joking. And I said, no, seriously. And then I had to fess up that I was joking, but it sounded good.
You'd probably make your own book by the first play to break 350 bones in one tackle.
I don't even have 350 bones, but I still would break them. You're right.
Yeah, see, he knows how many bones are in the bone.
Some could break more than once. True.
Oh, ouch. But another real cool thing that I like, guys, and this is sort of really fun, and again, from the old times, but in 1966, that same game when that Justin Canale guy kicked off and then recovered the fumble, Joe Bellino who was from Winchester, was in the game, and he went out and he caught a pass. But the pass was thrown by a backup Patriot quarterback by the name of John Hewitt. First time ever in pro football history that a Heisman Trophy winner threw a ball and a Heisman Trophy winner caught the ball.
Huh. That's so good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it just...
That was the first time ever?
It's just a fun fact.
Well, it is a fun fact. Like I say, that and a dollar will get you a cup of coffee if you find the right place that sells them, but they're just, you know, a lot of fun, and, you know, I'm just proud to, you know, have my name on the cover of the book. And
well, you should be proud. I mean, we've sold a ton of these online on the PatriotsProShop.com website. We've sold a ton of these, and I know people have come back and bought more because I think they realize what a great gift it makes. We're in the holiday season now. And any Patriot fan would love to have this sitting on their coffee table or in their tailgating box to flip through while they're standing in the parking lots or, you know, while they're watching games with friends. I mean, there's not a Patriot fan I know that wouldn't want a copy of this book. It makes a great gift.
It's the price point.
That's true.
$17.95?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's a no-brainer. This is just a cool book. You're here on the air talking, and as you're talking, I'm starting to read a page, and I'm zoning out. I'm actually getting sucked into it.
Trying to stay with the show, Mike.
Well, I just learned about Halvor Hagen, an offensive defensive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the guy from overseas, yeah.
Oslo, Norway. I mean,
yeah.
Who knew? You know, there's just so many.
So Zoltán Mezkó's not our first European?
You know,
but the other good one is that, like, you know, everyone we know, Randy Moss is a great athlete. You know, I mean, and okay, you know, whatever, take away all the issues with the Patriots, just he is a great athlete. Well, he's the only player in the history of in West Virginia to win the high school athlete 2 years in a row. I mean, you know, a lot of players win them one. He won it his junior and senior year. He won high school player of the year in basketball.
Hmm.
And then he won senior year in football. But I mean, you know, these things, you don't, you know, and you go, wow, I didn't know that. And, you know, like, let me just find one quick thing here through here. But
there's a lot to find.
Well, there was one thing though that it's great because they're in the half century of the, you know, Boston sports expansion, the Patriots and the Red Sox both played a regular season and or a postseason game against an opponent from the same city 9 times. And the Patriots, you know, on a 4-5 record, and the Red Sox 7-3. But the day that the Patriots played, and they lost 7-0 to the Bengals, 34-24 to the Bengals in Cincinnati, the Red Sox lost to the Cincinnati Bengals in Fenway Park in the World's, Cincinnati Reds in the World Series.
Wow.
But, you know, and it just goes, and, okay, here it is, guys. The eight fields where the Patriots have played a home game in the regular season.
Are you asking us the question?
I'm asking you guys that. No looking in the book.
I know one of them. There's one that's in Tennessee or Alabama, right? Didn't they play a home game in?
Yeah, very good. Very good.
In Nashville, I think it was.
Actually, in Birmingham? In Birmingham.
It was Birmingham. Yep. I knew there was
Legion
one
field.
Down there.
Yeah.
So let's see. BU Field, Fenway Park. Didn't they play one at Harvard Stadium?
Well, they played 1 year there, actually, too. Yeah, Harvard.
So there's three.
Yeah.
What am I missing? Foxborough Stadium, the Birmingham, that's 5.
Charlotte, right.
That's 6. So we're missing eight, so we're missing 2.
No, the other Foxborough, right?
Schaefer.
Don't forget
Schaefer
two.
And Sullivan.
Oh, well, so you're calling it, it's the same building, but different names?
No, it's the same building, but it's two different fields. In other words, there was the Schaefer Field and then the Gillette Field, so it's two separate entities.
He's going Schaefer and Gillette. Yeah.
Right, but not Schaefer and Foxborough and Sullivan.
Well, Schaefer, Foxborough, right. Sullivan, right.
They're all the same, yeah.
And then
that's Gillette. One, I'm counting that as one, though, right?
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, no, it's counting that as two. Foxborough 1 and then Foxborough 2, because it's two different locations in Foxborough, not the same location.
It was called Sullivan Stadium at one point.
It was Sullivan.
And then also Boston College.
Boston College, yep.
Hmm.
But we're missing one.
How many games did they play at Boston College?
Oh, they played 1 year, so they played 7 games.
Missing one.
8 games because they played 1 year in, like, 1963 because they couldn't play at, or 1962 because they couldn't play at
BU. Was it in Connecticut?
No. No, it's not in New England.
It's not in New England. I don't know.
In 1968, California. The Red Sox came out of nowhere for the possible dream, and Yawkey said no games until the World Series is over. So the AFL adjusted the schedule, and the Patriots opened for the first four games were Oakland, San Diego, Denver, Buffalo.
Wow.
Then the fifth game, was at home against San Diego. And because the Red Sox had won game five in St. Louis, Yawkey said, no football, until afterwards. So then, basically, like on a Monday, Billy Sullivan was told, find a new place to play your game next week against the Chargers. And they couldn't find anything. They went back to San Diego and played the game. They already played 3 weeks before. They played again in San Diego. Technically, the Patriots were the home team, and they tied the game 31-31.
Wow.
Which was also their last tie game.
You know, I've heard...
But I'm very impressed. Was it Mike? Was it Mike or was it Jim or Jeff that got the... Birmingham,
we'll
Alabama,
say Mike.
Right away.
It was Mike.
It was not Mike. It was Jim from PatriotsProShop.com.
Jim said Nashville.
Very good, Jim, because people don't get that one. That's a real tough one.
Jim said Nashville. I said Birmingham.
But same state.
A lot of people over the years have sort of made fun of the Patriots for how many stadiums they played in early on. I bet you there's a lot of AFL teams or teams back in the 50s and 60s that bounced around quite a bit. You know what I mean?
There's only one other team that's played. Green Bay Packers have played in a home game in eight different stadiums.
But, I mean, that's very interesting because, they played in Milwaukee a bunch of years, right? They used to play there.
Well, but they played in, like, two different stadiums in Milwaukee, and then they had, like, one game. They used to play a home game in Madison occasionally and three different fields in, Green Bay. But I think to your point, you're right. I mean, jumping around from Cambridge to Boston to Foxborough, Birmingham,
there's two teams that played in eight, but I bet there's a bunch that played in six or something during that short period of time. You know what I mean?
Thanks a lot. Now I'm going to be up all night figuring that one out, guys.
It just always bothered me the way some of the pundits, media people would like to hop on that as being a big deal that they played in a bunch of places. I just have a feeling that it's good to know the storied Green Bay Packers played in as many places. So
right,
yeah. Plus that, so what? It's like, how many, I mean, I bet you some of the number one executives in this nation, in this world, have lived in six or seven different houses. What's wrong with playing in all these different fields?
That's what I mean. It always bothered me that they made it sort of a negative, you know. But we love
They have the best field. They have the best facility in football, if not in all of professional sports, the best venue.
So we need to give one away before we run off the air. Is that right? We need to give one away before we run.
Yeah. Well, sure. What we'd like to do is, we are up against the clock, but we would love to. Anyone listening can email us. Jim, what was the trivia question going to be?
We were going to ask the question that Michael brought, or the answer Michael brought up earlier about what team the Patriots played in their first three stadiums. Right? Was that what it was? First three stadiums and beat.
It was the same team.
It was the same team.
So what was that team that the Patriots beat in the first?
So the first one to email in will get a copy of the Patriots Passions book.
And you can send your email answer to webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Give us the answer. Obviously, it'll be after the show, but we'll be glad to get one of these books out to you. Possibly get it signed. Is that okay, Michael?
Well, I would love to. I'm hoping that I can stop by this weekend if things work out, and I would love to sign the book, and it would be my pleasure.
Great, great. Well, the name of the book is Patriots Passion from Day One by Michael A. King.
Available at PatriotsProShop.com.
Of course, of course. So it's available at PatriotsProShop.com and the Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium. Thanks, Michael, and we're up against the clock, but we greatly appreciate it. This is a fantastic book.
Yeah, thank you very much, Michael.
I'm sorry, I get too passionate about it, but thanks, guys, for the time, and... go Patriots.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care. And that's about it for this week at Shop Talk. We will be back hopefully next week. Talk about another win.
Patriots.
Back to your regular time.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll see about that.